It is a great privilege to be here with you today and to study the Word of God. And if you have your Bibles, please open them to Colossians chapter 3. We will be studying the first four verses of chapter 3, Colossians. And as you are turning to Colossians chapter 3, I would like all of us to ask ourselves some questions. What am I currently preoccupied with? Or better yet, what is the goal and purpose of my life? Am I satisfied with my daily routine? Am I rejoicing over the future glory of heaven? As you're thinking about these questions, let us read Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. Colossians chapter 3. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. This text shows us that a Christian's union with Christ necessitates specific glorious actions towards heaven. Before we look a little bit deeper at these glorious actions, notice that the imperatives of verse 1 to seek heaven and of verse 2 to set our mind on heaven, these imperatives, they do not apply to just anybody, but they apply to a certain group of people. In other words, there are preconditions to whom this text applies. You know, it's the same way as when a doctor prescribes medicine to his patients. He doesn't just prescribe any medicine to all of his patients. He prescribes specific medicine to specific patients. There has to be preconditions, conditions that the patient has for the doctor to prescribe a certain kind of medication. It is the same way here. This text applies to certain types of people. And notice the precondition. Our text states, therefore, if you have been resurrected with Christ. Do you see that this first clause of verse 1 immediately eliminates everyone who has not been yet resurrected with Christ? But what does it mean to be resurrected with Christ? Is this referring to a hypothetical future event when all will be raised up with Christ on the last day? Studying this passage, we notice that the grammar of this text shows us the opposite, that it is not referring to a future event, but instead it is referring to an actual event that had already happened. Moreover, it pertains to only those certain people that had experienced this resurrection. So who are these people, and how are they resurrected with Christ? Well, we Christians can testify that before we became believers, we were all at one point dead. Even though we were physically alive to do whatever seemed right to us, we could now testify that we were spiritually dead to all things that pertain to God. We loved our sin. We loved our pleasure. We loved ourselves. We did not seek God. We did not fear God. We did not love His Word. We did not desire to be holy. All of this was non-existent to us. It was foreign, because we were spiritually dead. I'm sure all of us have been at memorial services where we have seen the coffin there laying with the body inside. Now let me ask you a question. Would it make a difference if we would read scripture to that body? Would it make a difference if we were to sing a hymn to those remains that are left? Would it make a difference if we would share the gospel? The answer is no, because that body is dead. It does not respond to anything that's going on around it. It is dead. The same way we were at one point dead in our trespasses. We did not respond to the gospel message. But God, in His time and in His mercy, He made us alive by giving us new life. You see, we Christians were indeed spiritually resurrected. We were made alive. We were changed internally. We experienced a change in our hearts, a change in our desires, a change in our thoughts and how we perceived life. Now, we love God. We seek God. We fear God. We love His Word. We desire to be obedient and to be holy. You see, at the moment of our regeneration, we died to ourselves, and with it, also to the condemnation from the law. And then we were resurrected with Jesus Christ in His resurrection. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, had come from heaven to this earth, being born of a virgin, lived a perfect life, was perfectly sinless. He fulfilled the whole law. And yet He became the substitute for those who were lacking. He came to this world to save all who would believe. Christ, the Anointed One, was condemned, crucified, and killed for sinners. But on the third day, He was resurrected, and thus He showed that His sacrifice was accepted by God the Father. And now Christ offers everyone who believes this eternal life and this perfect righteousness that is acceptable to God. He gives this righteousness by resurrecting those who would believe. You see, friend, we know that our bodies, they get older, and we may experience physical illnesses and may even soon give up on this physical life. But unlike our physical bodies, our soul is alive and well. And when our physical body ceases to exist, our soul will not cease, but it will graduate to its eternal state. Some of us to heaven because we were resurrected to life with Christ. But some, unfortunately, will go to hell because they have sinned against a holy God and they did not believe in Jesus Christ as their Savior. So now, what follows this first clause of verse 1 in chapter 3 pertains to everyone who had experienced this resurrection, this regeneration in his or her life. Look with me at our first glorious action towards heaven, and that is to seek heaven, to search it out, to investigate it, to study about heaven in our Bibles. Look with me at verse 1 again. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. You see, we are commanded to keep seeking the things above. Yes, this pertains to Christ, but here the emphasis is slightly more on heaven itself. You may notice immediately that there is a continual participle that implies that those who are already seeking are now to keep on seeking. Keep seeking the things above. The word things above could also be translated as a place that is higher than this earth. In other words, this pertains to heaven. How do we know this pertains to heaven? Well, we see in the next clause of verse 1, it says that it is a certain place where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. The fact that Christ is seated at the right hand of God shows us that He has the highest position of heaven, of that place that awaits us. Matthew chapter 6, verses 31 through 34, Jesus instructed His people to seek first God's kingdom and His righteousness. And Paul here, who writes this epistle, is in line when he states to seek the things above. In other words, to seek heaven. Throughout scriptures, Christians find that they are instructed to seek heaven. Because as 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 4 states, that in it we will obtain our inheritance, which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away. Beloved, we are called today to a glorious action, and that is to seek heaven, because it is a necessary consequence and a requirement of being raised together with Christ. But friends, how are we to seek that which is above? In other words, how are we to seek heaven? Does this seeking mean to search it out in our galaxy, amongst our stars, maybe through a telescope or through the scientific space program? You may have heard that on April 12, 1961, a Russian cosmonaut, Yuri Gagarin, was the first man who was sent into space to orbit around the Earth. And after a flight that only lasted 108 minutes, Gagarin returned to this Earth, to where he was quickly asked, "Did you see God out there?" To which he replied, "No." You know, the Communist Party, they used his answer as propaganda to combat Christianity in that Soviet era. But beloved, Paul's instructions here are not to seek the things above in the physical world. In other words, he's not telling us to look above our clouds and to seek heaven in our galaxy. No, he's stating this to seek the things above in the spiritual world. In other words, to seek heaven in our Bibles, in his revealed revelation. To seek heavenly things in a spiritual world means to read our Bibles, to take note of what awaits us. It is to set our affection upon these things, to love them, and to let our desires be towards them. We must familiarize ourselves with that place that awaits us. We should regard it as the most important thing of all other things and give all of ourselves to the preparation of enjoyment of it. We have already seen this text instruct us to take action and to seek heaven. Now look at the next verse. We are told to think about heaven, to contemplate, to ponder, to constantly meditate on thoughts of heaven. This is the second glorious action that we Christians are to take. Look with me at verse 2. We read, "Set your mind on the things above and not on the things on the earth." You may notice that our translation refers to heaven in verse 2 the same way as it does in verse 1 with the words "the things above." That is because the Greek word is the same Greek word is used in both instances. Paul first tells us to seek the things above, and now he tells us to set our mind on the things above. Here, the things above refers not only to heaven, but also to Christ and to God. It is referring to all of that glory that is above. And the emphasis here is to take a glorious action with our thoughts, that our Christian thought would be continually on Christ and on his kingdom, that we would rest in our minds with thoughts of heaven. The Christian has to keep his feet upon the earth, but his head must be in heavens. He must be heavenly minded here on earth. You know, you may have heard such an accusation that one can be so heavenly minded that he is no earthly good. But friends, our text here disagrees with that kind of statement. And it tells us that we should indeed be heavenly minded. Only then will we be any earthly good. And look at Paul's reasoning. Why we should not be earthly minded, but instead set our minds on the things that are above. Look at verse 3. He first tells us, "For you have died." For you have died. It is interesting that Paul, throughout this epistle of Colossians, states that believers share in Christ's death through spiritual baptism and through spiritual resurrection. Thus, they are dead to their sinful lifestyle and also free from the condemnation of the law. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 24, we read, "Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with his passions and desires." This means that when the Holy Spirit regenerates a heart, the person no longer desires to willingly rebel against God. But instead, that person is willing to separate himself from his or her own sins. If we have indeed died, then obviously we cannot be earthly minded. We cannot be thinking about the wealth of this world, the fame of this world, the pleasure of this world. And here Paul repeats this principle that you, believer, you have already died to yourself and to your sinful lifestyle. And even though you have been resurrected to eternal life and are free from the condemnation of the law, you cannot go back to that lifestyle you once lived. Your life is now new and another. It will be a contradiction if you, who have been made a child of God, begin living again as a hellion. You are no longer a slave of Satan, and therefore your life must reflect that change. Someone here may have indeed flirted with their old lifestyle and may be compelled today by the Holy Spirit to repent and again follow Christ. If you are a child of God and are convicted by God's word, or maybe you're experiencing today some kind of discipline from God for your sins, then I urge you to repent and live according to God's word. Now look at the next clause of verse 3. It gives us another reason why we should set our minds on the things above. Paul states, "And your life is now hidden with Christ in God." It's interesting to point out, Paul first instructs us to seek something that is hidden, something special, to seek heaven. Now he bluntly tells us that not only is heaven hidden, but that our life is also hidden with Christ in God. The fact that our life is hidden with Christ in God gives us security in our salvation. You see, because it is really hidden, no man can harm it. Satan cannot take it away. And you can be sure about the fact that Christ himself is the keeper of your life. He is responsible for it, and he said that he knows his own by name and that he will not lose any of them. This means that you, my dear precious soul, are safe in the hands of Jesus. We are mere aliens and visitors on earth because our citizenship is in heaven. Beloved, do become homesick to that place where your life is already hidden in heaven. Look to be there. Be excited about your future. Be like Abraham and look forward to a city that has foundations whose architect and builder is God himself. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul states in verses 6 through 8, he tells us, "Therefore, while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. But to be absent from the body is to be at home with the Lord." Beloved, may I ask you today, are you seeking the things that are above? Are you preoccupied with studying the glorious truth that described to us that place where we will soon obtain our inheritance? Are you setting your mind on the things that are above? Or are we so busy with this life that we do not even remember the last time we put ourselves in front of scriptures to study God's kingdom and his righteousness? In conclusion, look with me at the fourth verse of chapter 3. Fourth verse of chapter 3. We read, "When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory." Brothers and sisters, notice first the word "when." This word refers to time. In other words, it means soon, but not yet. And here Paul reminds us that soon Christ will be revealed in his glory. And all will see him in his glory, just like Peter, John, and James saw him on that Mount of Transfiguration. In that instance, the disciples were so frightened and so overwhelmed that they hid their faces and they did not know what to answer to Christ. When Christ will be revealed, it will be the most amazing thing to see. Furthermore, we see that Christ is not only our hero, our Savior, but this text tells us that he is our life. In other words, the one who imparts God's life to us and the one around whom our life should be oriented. In verse 3 of this chapter, we read that we have died. And thus now our life is not our own, but it is all about Christ. Paul said in Philippians chapter 1, verse 21, he says, "To live is Christ, to die is gain." Finally, notice that when Christ will be revealed, Scripture promises you that you will be revealed with Him in glory. This means that when Christ will be revealed to this earth that is fading away, then at that time, your life that was the whole time hidden with Christ will also be revealed. It will be the revealing of the actual you, the revealing of the glorified you. Beloved, are you looking forward to that time when you will be revealed? The word revealed means to be made known. In other words, something that is hidden, but then is made known. You may not be someone famous now, but when Christ will be revealed, beloved, you will be revealed with Him in that glory. This means that maybe those who look down at you today, at that time will be looking up and will be seeing Christ and you with Him. Oh, what a joy we Christians have. This text shows us today that a true believer is united with Christ in an everlasting union which can never be broken. And with that union, the Christian is justified, he is sanctified, and he is already glorified. And since the Christian's internal life is hidden with Christ, it is the believer's duty to seek that world to which Christ has already ascended to, making heaven his goal and aim, and manifesting to those around him the gospel message by a consistent Christian lifestyle. The promise that believers will soon appear with Christ in his glory should compel all of us to forsake our sin and to live fully for Him. May the Lord bless each and every one of us to remember these truths so that our joy may be complete while we are still living on this earth.